You've got this whole thing in hand. The intelligence, the path is already created. The power to get there is already created. I ask for a spirit of surrender to envelop our city. A surrender to the will of the Lord. A surrender to a future that is absolutely phenomenally great. And help us to understand how really great we are. We are created in your image, designed to house your greatest thoughts. And I thank you for that. God, I love you. In Jesus' name. You may be seated. I cannot thank you enough for your untiring effort to keep this place a house of God. A place where God can loose His Spirit, His Word, and untie His people. A place where He can start a fire. A place where He can start renewed inspiration. So that wherever we go, whatever we do, that Spirit goes before us and stays behind us. He is that powerful where His people walk becomes holy ground. It is a hallowed place where the men of faith and the ladies of faith make their footsteps known and make their voice heard and their direction clear. We are not of this world. We are of this world earthy, but we are not of this world spiritually. It is a thrill to be able to walk with men and women that have pledged their heart, soul, mind, and strength to a King who is immortal, who is all wise, and all eternal. He is from everlasting to everlasting, the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you clap your hands to Him? I want us to talk for a few minutes about His history. He has a history that is irrefutable. He has a history that is undeniable. Agnostics, atheists, and all others have tried to minimize and create celebrities above it. But there is no celebrities greater than Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and many others that were not named there. Judges reveals to us one of those heroes of faith and power. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice. There came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. His son Gideon threshed wheat by the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, I'm not going to come back and work with that point, but I do want you to notice it. God knows where you're at when you're in hiding. The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this stuff happening around us? Where be all of the miracles which our forefathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. The Lord looked upon him and said, Son, go in this thy might. Somebody say, what you have left. That's all he's asking. Just take what's left. Go in this thy might, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? I want to interrupt this to tell you that while I was studying and getting ready for the evening, I remembered a story I heard an older man say about a vacation with his boy, that he had taken his son on a trip to try to talk to him about the Word of God and things of God and show him places that God made and just exalt the Lord on this vacation. And the dad was surprised as they went to the hotel, I think maybe it was the second evening, and they start talking about David and Goliath. And the dad was telling the young boy, said, this is how the story went. And he said, and David faced off with that Goliath and started to walk out there. And the little boy said to his dad about that time, he said, Dad, that's not fair. And his dad was getting ready to explain to him that God was with the boy. And all of a sudden the boy said, Dad, David's got God, and that man don't have anybody. How unfair. And how thrilling for a dad to realize that somewhere along the way he had already taught his son more than he knew his son already knew. Sometimes it's easy to forget who we're really working with and what kind of power we're working for. So he said unto him, Go in this thy might. Thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family's poor. Anybody felt like that? I didn't come from a pedigreed family. I didn't come from Holy Ghost revival. I didn't come out of a home where glory was falling all the time. He said, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in that house. So if you've been feeling sorry for where you've been raised and who you are, get over it. God makes heroes out of would-bes. And you're a would-be or you wouldn't be here. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee. And I promise you, we didn't get together with the music department tonight. As they kept singing all these songs, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, you must be around here somewhere. I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite. I'll be with you, and you shall smite. Did you get that picture? I'm going to furnish you energy on Sunday night, and you're going to be my witness on Monday. And so he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, or teaching, show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come to thee, and bring forth my present. Somebody say, bring forth a present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid or a goat and unleavened cakes of an ephah. Somebody say he did the best he could. And he put it in a basket and put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him. Somebody say the pitiful talking to the powerful. Somebody say the pitiful presenting a sacrifice to the powerful. You won't ever resent or be rejected if you give the best you got left. And that's what he did. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, lay them on the rock, pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock
consume the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Somebody say, God, consume me. I am that flesh. I am going to present myself before I leave here more than ever before. I'm giving myself 100% tonight. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give me my daily bread and I will share my life with the world. So, when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord said unto him, "Peace be unto thee. Fear not. Thou shalt not die." Well, God is trying to speak to every one of us. You're not going to lose the anointing. You're not going to die. If you'll just do what you can, thou shalt not die. He said, if you'll die out to me, I'll give you my life. You'll never give him your life and lose life. So the Lord said unto Gideon, "The people that are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel think," or he uses the word vaunt themselves, but the whole concept is, lest they think they've done all this by their talent singing and by their talent preaching and by their talent of building a building. Therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of the people, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. God's not interested in how full the house is. He's interested in how full the people are. That one moment, he chased 22,000 potential members away. You have any idea why? He knew that victory comes by agreement, but that when the victory comes, the people will come back. That's awesome. People don't leave church because they're not hungry. They leave church when church is empty. And they don't realize they're part of the emptiness. Now, so 22,000 people left. And I can't imagine Gideon's feelings next. And the Lord said, "There's still too many. Take them down to the creek and see how many know what they're doing with life." Well, he didn't say it that way. I'm just putting it in 2018 language. Let them see how they drink water. And now they get rid of everybody else except 300. 32,000 they started out with, and they narrowed it down to 300. Again, he understood, when the fire falls, they'll come home. Don't you worry about your kids. Don't you worry about the backsliders. When they hear what's about to happen, and when they see happening what they long to see, you won't be able to put them in this building. The Lord said unto Gideon, "By the 300 men that leapt will I save you and deliver," somebody say saved, "and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man unto his place." So they took victuals in their hands, their trumpets, And he sent all the rest of Israel, every man to his own tent, and retained 300, less than a tenth. Most churches nowadays, if they lost that many, would say God is nowhere near. Because they're looking at crowds, not Christ. So the people did what they could. And it came to pass that same night that the Lord said unto him, arise and get thee down to the host. I want you to go visit the enemy. Well, that's rich, huh? First you helped me lose everybody mostly in the church. And then you want me to go downtown and talk to them? You want me to go hear what they're saying? They feel totally different about what's going on here than some people. So he goes down there, and he takes Urah, his servant, with him. And there they stand outside the tent of the captain of the host. And he heard them talking. And what he heard set him ablaze. Because he's going to save everybody who wants to be saved. So I love this story. It's one of my favorite in the whole Bible. Because here he is. I mean, I know it's probably like one of those moments when you're still sort of shaky about losing the crowd. And now you're down here and you're scared of what you're going to hear. And all of a sudden you heard. And there was a little loaf of bread that fell on top of the tent. And it began to destroy the tent and the people. And he said, when I got to thinking about it, I knew what it was. It's that Gideon and that crew that God's got in his hand. And they smote the tent that it fell headlong. And the Bible said, fear spread throughout the camp. Now, back to the other side. Gideon arms them. This is the greatest story. Gideon gives them a trumpet. He gives them a lamp. And I forgot what the other one is. I actually had a sort of a personal want to forgetting it. A pitcher, a lamp, and a trumpet. Now, does anybody remember what the first thing he told them to leave over? Those that are fearful and afraid, get out of here. The title of the message, now that I've preached half of it, is unafraid, unashamed, and shouting. Say it with me, would you? Unafraid, unashamed, and shouting. Now, I have to confess to you that to go face a valley of millions of people, I would be a little ashamed to carry a pitcher, a trumpet, and a lamp to the battlefield. I have to confess that. That's not my way of fighting the Muslims. It's not my way of fighting people across the country. It is just a little scarce in my carnal way of thinking. But it's not by might, nor yet by power,
Oh, come on, somebody say it. Cough it out strong. It's not by might, nor yet by power. I'm not talking about an emotional high. I'm talking about the power of the resurrected Christ. I'm talking about the power of the Word that can sustain itself against all the enemies of time. I am talking about the power of God who holds the heaven and the earth together. It's not by power. It's not by might, nor yet by power. But it's by the power that created the heavens and the earth. The Spirit that moved across the face of the deep. And it divided the light from the dark. It divided the ocean from the land. I'm talking about God Almighty. Could we praise Him just a minute? Fear hath torment. Fear comes from looking at carnal concepts and ideas. This world cannot match the powers of Satan. There's not a mother or dad that wants their kids acting like kids under the spell of Satan act. Not a power. There's not a power in the financial world. There's not a power in the buildings. There's not a power in the world that can match Satan. Except the power of God. And there is no power anywhere that can match the power of the Almighty. That's why he said, serve the Lord with gladness, to think that I am a servant of God. I live in the King's house. I live in the King's spirit. I live with an arsenal of weapons that are invisible, that keep people in guilt and keep people in shame. And it keeps people over here. Let me tell you something. Light is going to corner more people in the next few years than you can imagine. You don't have anything to be afraid of if you're truly serving God. With your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Get up, get out, and get with it. Unafraid. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of. Let me tell you where strongholds are. Right here. One of the strongholds that you young people are facing. And one of the strongholds that mothers and dads are facing is, I just can't do any better. That is a lie directly out of hell. Because if he can get your mind to thinking you can't be holy and you can't be godly, he will have you already captured, and you'll be afraid and you'll be ashamed and you will never succeed. But I'm here to loose you. I'm here to preach you out of that mess. I am here to resurrect something inside of you that says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He is my sword. He is my shield. He is my wisdom. He is my glory. What ought to be embarrassing is for people to know this is available and try to trust in what they know. That's where people ought to be ashamed. To have watched men that have had huge amounts of money, men that have had huge amounts of ability to speak, they can recall diaries of history. But they can't keep their kids out of hell. That is a shame. Ladies and gentlemen, I preach to you Christ. Somebody say unafraid. I wish somebody, I don't want you to stand physically, but inside right now, I want you to stand up in your spirit, and I want you to say, I'm not afraid of this world. What I'm afraid of is not to serve God. What I am afraid of is not to give Him my life. What I'm afraid of is that He may come before I give Him my life in the next 5 minutes. I want to give Him everything. I'm not giving Him a half of me. I'm giving Him all, because I want Him to protect everything. Unashamed. You know what just bothers the fire out of me? People are not ashamed to walk around half naked.
afraid and ashamed to dress godly. It's not your clothes that's going to protect you. Your clothes identify who you really serve. It is a shame for kids to have to go to bed in fear because of some horror movie, instead of being taken to the house of God where they can hear the word of God that removes all fear and gives them a faith. If I live or if I die, I am the Lord's. He is the resurrection. He is the life, and there's none beside Him. Cannot imagine relinquishing my whole. I wish all my kids and grandkids would stand up. If you want to be my kid, stand up. No, don't. Two of you almost stood. I didn't want to embarrass myself. I will not relinquish these people to the devil. One of the things that keeps me trying to behave myself is I look at them and I know they look at me. I don't want you to see me running around in bikini pants. They just told me they don't want to see me that way either. I want to dress like a man. Hey, who do you belong to? I didn't say wife, did I? Well, get up. You belong. Oh, you need to sit down. I'm going to tell you something. I am not ashamed to be an apostolic Holy Ghost preacher. I'm not ashamed in front of this crowd, these family members, you as my church. I would be ashamed to run around and drink and carry on and lie, cheat, and steal on purpose and do all the things of the world. I think you deserve a better man than that. And I think God deserves a church that cares about how they appear in the world. We're His kids, and we're not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed to break identity with whoremongers and whores and young sit down. I'm not ashamed to be breaking identity with the way that crowd dresses and the way they talk and the kind of conversations they have. Let our voice be heard clear. We're not afraid. We're not ashamed. We belong to God, and we've got a trumpet, and we're going to use it. We're not going to use it to curse one person. We will not bless anybody by cursing them. We're going to blow a trumpet of worship. I love God. Hey, I wish you could know my Jesus. I wish you could know our Savior. I wish you could know Him in a wonderful way. We're going to use a trumpet. I wish you'd point to your mouth and say, I got a trumpet. We use it for a lot of stuff, but we ought to use it for the name. That trumpet ought to never play a discordant note in the house of God. If you want to destroy the devil, you don't want to join him. I thought sure at least 50% of y'all already believed that. I said you don't want to use that trumpet to tear a brother or sister down. You don't want to use that trumpet to degrade anybody in the city. You want to use that trumpet to tell them He's alive. He still forgives. He still heals. He's still the resurrection. He's still mercy. He's still love. He's still forgiveness. Let the city hear the trumpet.
Musicians are coming. Somebody say millions. A small crowd, somebody say 300, by doing three small things, gave revival to a land bigger than Texas. The valley could not be numbered. they got this huge billboard. And on the left end of it, they got this humongous Whataburger. And it said something bigger than, and got a little bitty piece of Texas carved out. Texas, a land of big, measured by a hamburger.
And I can't even get it out of my mind.
That they would have the audacity to put one burger up there and say something bigger than Texas. Church ought to be the most exciting thing we ever do. Church ought not to be boring. We are learning how to be the King's kids. We're learning who's going to take over. We're learning what's going to happen. I'm telling you, this is the highest level of intelligence that you can join yourself to. And somebody say, unafraid. I wish somebody say, unafraid, unashamed. And I'm shouting. I'm shouting because I'm delivered from cheating. I'm delivered from sin. I'm delivered from my history. I am afraid, hallelujah, of nothing except sin overtaking me. I am unafraid, unashamed, and I got a shout going on. Could we stand? Now, I'm asking everybody that wants to live that way to either find a place to pray where you are, or preferably I'd like for us to join hearts and heads at the front of this building and say, Gideon, we're joining you and your crowd, unafraid, unashamed, and we're going to go in victory to meet this world this week. We're going to help them to find this in this Sunday school drive. We're going to, because of him, we can live that way. We couldn't live that way without the blood. We couldn't live that way without the name. We couldn't live that way without the Holy Ghost. Unafraid, unashamed, and living in victory. Millions are going to be affected by the revival that takes place in Paris, Texas. There is a call of the Holy Ghost over this assembly and this city. There are many hungry people that are going to hear the message. Sing it, would you? And I'm going to ask everybody here to commit yourself to a renewed faith, a renewed boldness, and a renewed consecration to light up the world with godly dress, with godly communication.
I'm gonna sing for you like nobody's listening. Nobody's listening. Sing for you, my love. I'm not holding anything, anything back. Jesus, Jesus, I'm not ashamed to shout out the name of the Lord. No, I'm not ashamed to worship the name of Jesus, Jesus, I'm not ashamed to shout. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Ooh, I'm not ashamed to be holiness. I'm not ashamed to be oneness. I'm not ashamed to talk in tongues. I'm not ashamed to believe against sin.
Lord, I'm gonna sing for you. Lord, I'm gonna worship you. I'm not afraid. I'm not. shame. Lord, I'm gonna dance for you. Lord, I'm gonna sing for you. Lord, I'm gonna worship you. I'm not afraid, I'm not ashamed. Lord, I'm gonna dance for you. Lord, I'm gonna sing for you. Lord, I'm gonna worship you. I'm not afraid, I'm not ashamed. Nothing's gonna hinder me. Nothing's gonna silence me. Shout it out if you believe. I'm not afraid, I'm not ashamed. Nothing's gonna hinder me. Nothing's gonna silence me. Shout it out if you believe. I'm not afraid.
Now I'd like for you to join with somebody. While we keep this spirit going, join with somebody now. We've prayed over ourselves. We want to join with somebody. I pray with you, sister. I pray with you, husband. I pray with you, children. I pray with you, mama. I pray with you, daddy. I join my heart with Jesus first. And now I join my heart with you. And we're going to be a one people with one God, one leader, one glory, one future.
Lord, I'm gonna sing for you. Lord, I'm gonna worship you. I'm not afraid, I'm not ashamed. Lord, I'm gonna dance for you. Lord, I'm gonna sing for you. Lord, I'm gonna worship you. I'm not afraid, I'm not ashamed. Nothing's gonna hinder me. Nothing's gonna silence me. Shout it out if you believe. I'm not afraid, I'm not ashamed.
All right, all right. What I want us to do next, I want us to face every one of the outside walls. I want us looking north, east, south, and west. Some of you closer to the platform, look behind me. But some of the rest of you, I want us all looking out. Looking out that way to the people in the far corners of Lamar County. And that way, all the way over to Red River County. And that way, all the way over. And let's pray for them while they sing. This group here, look that way. That's it. Sing it. We're coming. We're not afraid. We're not ashamed. And we're going to trumpet it out. He's still God. He's still going to heal the land.
Lord, I'm going to worship you. I'm not afraid. I'm not ashamed. Lord, I'm going to dance for you. Lord, I'm going to sing for you. Lord, I'm going to worship you. I'm not afraid. I'm not ashamed. Nothing's going to hinder me. Nothing's going to silence me. Shout it out if you believe. I'm not afraid. I'm not ashamed. Nothing's going to hinder me. Nothing's going to silence me. Shout it out if you believe. I'm not afraid. I'm not ashamed. Nothing's going to hinder me.
And the Bible said, praise the name of the Lord with a loud voice. I don't want you to ruin your voice, but for the next 3 minutes, while they sing that, I want us to shout praises. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for delivering me. Just whatever you think, but think about it and shout it out. They shouted with a loud voice, and it put such fear in the enemy. But what it really did, it built up the glory inside. The evacuation of words left us an open place for his glory. Sing it one more time. Let's shout it out.
Lord, I'm gonna dance for you.
Dance if you gotta dance.
Lord, I'm gonna sing for you.
You can shout
worship you. I'm not afraid. I'm not ashamed. Lord, I'm gonna dance for you. Lord, I'm gonna sing for you. Lord, I'm gonna worship you. I'm not afraid. I'm not ashamed. Lord, I'm gonna dance for you. Lord, I'm gonna
sing for my kids.
Lord, I'm gonna worship you. I'm not afraid.
You're the victory for my city. You're the victory for our church. You're the victory for our youth. God, we're gonna shout it out every day. We're sold out.
Nothing's gonna hinder me. Nothing's gonna silence me. Shout it out if you believe. I'm not afraid.